On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
And welcome into the Who Is On podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, I'm already breaking my promise. I said we're going to go down to one podcast this week, but you know, the basketball world just stops for no one, and we've had a lot of news. And I said, you know, maybe if like there's one commitment, I won't come back on, but you know, if there's a lot of news, I'll come back on. Well, guess what? There was a lot of news. So I got Zach Carey, managing editor of Streaking the Lawn, joining me here today to dive into everything going on in basketball right now, especially UVA basketball, and just kind of, you know, give an update where UVA stands in the transfer portal. Zach, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Preston. Thanks for having me on.
It's there's been a lot. There's been a lot this week, and I kind of wanted to just get some thoughts out here on everything, because I know I get questions and texts and about it anyway, and you know, the message board's been on fire lately, especially after the Isaac McNealy news. But let's start with kind of the Isaac McNealy story, and we'll start there. You know, obviously he commits to Louisville. You know, at the end it kind of looked like it was going to be Louisville or Tennessee. I think some UVA fans were hoping it was going to be Tennessee just so he stays out of the ACC, but he ends up going to Louisville and creates just a incredible backcourt there with Isaac McNealy. You got the Kennesaw State transfer Adrian Woolley coming in there, Xavier transfer Ryan Conwell, along with Mikel Brown, high school freshman coming out. I don't know how they're going to play all these guys together, but that's for Pat Kelsey to figure out. And speaking of Pat Kelsey, the most interesting timing on a podcast appearance last night. So Ryan Odom, new UVA coach, is on the Field of 68 podcast with, you know, Terrence Oglesby, Jeff Goodman out in San Antonio. You know, all the coaches kind of descend upon the Final Four every year. It's a big networking thing. And Pat Kelsey scheduled for the exact same time as Ryan Odom on the stage, and just kind of created an interesting dynamic. It's like, oh, like, you know, just a couple hours ago, one of your players committed to your school. So interesting timing there, but we can get into what Ryan said, but first let's just get some thoughts on the Isaac McNealy transfer to Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pretty big bummer for most UVA fans, even if it was kind of inevitable once everything happened. I think just like from a McNealy perspective, you got to kind of look at the whole picture. Like, he was one of Tony's recruits. Like, he was sort of that guy in that 22 class that came first and then went about bringing in guys who are now gone, but Isaac Trout, Leon Bond, Ryan Dunn. And I mean, it's pretty well confirmed that Bennett promised McNealy that he would be his coach for 4 years and would not retire until that class graduated. That changed, and not that that's necessarily like completely Tony's fault. You got to understand why IMAC might feel a little bit burned. And then, you know, all signs pointed to him liking Ron, being okay with them potentially bringing Ron back. They didn't bring Ron back, and then the team has one player, one scholarship player returning who didn't even play last year. So his coaches are gone, his teammates and friends are gone. There's probably not a lot tying McNealy to Virginia at this point. And I'm not trying to like put up this major defense, but I think it stinks for Virginia fans that he went to Louisville. It stinks that he left Virginia, that he's going to a team that plays UVA twice per season. But you also have to kind of understand it from his point of view. Like, he's in his last year, he's played in two NCAA tournament games. Probably wants to go on some sort of run out of a chance at being a consistent top 25 team and maybe contending for something in the ACC or the NCAA tournament. And Pat Kelsey's, I mean, granted, they lost to Creighton, but has proven to some extent the ability to build a team quickly and be a top 10, 15 team in the AP poll. So I get why IMAC did it. It stinks. I think my tweet just like saying like there is no pain or there's only pain, no joy. That's blown up more than I expected it to, but I feel like it's a shared sentiment among many right now. So yeah, it stinks, but it's also just like it's the reality of where UVA is at, and I'm sure Odom tried to some extent to get him back, but like it's the only thing tying McNeely to Charlottesville is like Charlottesville, and like that kind of it.
You make a great point there, because this is something that I keep coming back to is, Isaac McNeely obviously done a lot in 3 years from Virginia, and he's kind of come to hold a special place in a lot of Virginia fans' hearts, over that time, and especially, his play this season in kind of a trying year. But guess what? Ryan Odom has no connection to this Virginia roster, and I keep saying this, like, as Virginia fans and, people covering the team, like, obviously, like, we're thinking, oh, well, like, yeah, this would be a nice piece to come back. This would be a nice piece to come back. But guess what? Ryan Odom, like, he's looking at the bigger picture here, and he's not tied to these guys specifically, especially now in the transfer portal era. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I think just Isaac McNeely, maybe his value was greater to another team than it was for Virginia. And this is another thing I think we'll have to talk about is the NIL resources. Obviously, there's some debate about where Virginia stands in that. I mean, the reports have been out there that they're above $7 million. Carla Williams, Ryan Odom, Wally Walker, everyone said they had top 10 program resources at the press conference. That remains to be seen. We'll see how the roster kind of turns out. But at the same time, maybe. And they're using a lot of, this is something else, they're using a lot of data analytics now with their players and how they're building this roster. So maybe an Isaac McNeely doesn't have that much value to be that top paid player on Virginia's roster, say as, being, one of the top three or four guys on Louisville's roster. And, we talked about this last season. What would Isaac McNeely's best role be? It'd be as a number two or number three guy on a good team. Guess what? He's going to be at Louisville. He's going to be the number two or three guy. At Virginia, they were going to have to pay him to be one of their top guys, if not their number one guy. And I don't think maybe they see him as that. And so it's just a value thing. It's in, you talk about NBA salary caps. It's kind of like that. Do you want your max player to be this guy with this kind of ceiling that maybe kind of fits the system? Because I know there's a lot of talk about, defensively how McNeely fits in the system. I think there's always a way to make it work, and he's had players kind of like McNeely. And McNeely's been a good defender, at least a above average defender in his time at Virginia. So, yeah, I think
I will say,
it's a value thing.
I suspect that Virginia was able to match NIL for IMAC.
I
Like,
do, yeah.
I think if you're not matching NIL for IMAC, then like, what's the point? if it is so competitive, like that's the one they should go after. I agree with you on like the like how is he going to be best utilized or who's going to get the most value out of him. And like that probably also just played a part in his decision. He's probably like, I don't want to be the guy. I like being a guy, but like, look at UVA. Like if he committed yesterday to Virginia, who would be his teammates? No, but it's a good point on the NIL resources and sort of like value and resource allocation matters. And we can get into that a little bit more with some additional news that's come out. I think that it's important for fans to recognize that while this is, it's it I don't think it's necessarily it's like a salary cap, but I don't think that programs are, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I don't think that programs are necessarily going to, let's say Virginia has 7 million. I don't think they're going to hit 7 million every year. I don't think they're going to hit 7 million this year because you don't just pay someone $1.2 million because they're the best you could get. You pay them according to their market. Maybe you have to overpay, but from what I've seen, typically NIL is how you get your foot in the door into the group of finalists. And then maybe the price gets jacked up, but you're not just like throwing. If they spend $7 million, that would be fantastic news. That would mean that they have like an A roster going into next year. And I also think that if they get a $7 million roster, they're probably going to get another 2 million because you know what drives donors? It's commitments. So like it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy where like Maybe 7 million is the cap, but I don't think there's ever going to be a point where they're like, shoot, we can't pay a guy because 7 million is the cap. I also don't think that it necessarily means that they're going to spend 7 mil, and it could be more. But I don't know. It's a weird world, and it's kind of like it doesn't, because we all talk about like this being free agency and professional sports, but like it's not. It's actually like a lot crazier. And so, yeah, trying to figure out the headspace around it. But I agree with your point on McNeely.
Yeah, Louisville is reported in many places that they have around 8 to 10 million. I would say when you're looking at the roster they put together so far, it might be a little bit more than that just because, Conwell and Mikel Brown and Adrian Woolley and Isaac McNeely, these are all hotly contested prospects and players. So like they're gonna be in the upward $1 million range. So maybe it is a little bit more because then you gotta still fill out the backcourt. You gotta bring back guys like they had James Scott and Keyshawn Pryor is a guy everyone forgot about because he got hurt early in the year. Like Louisville's got a pretty good roster over there. And so paying to keep those guys that you already had and bring these new guys in, maybe it's a little bit higher. But like you said, that could be something where it's like, all right, well, we got this great roster already. We think this one more piece could, put us over the edge. Let's go hit up the donors again, try to get the
What's
last little
another
bit of,
mill to someone
yeah.
donating 4 mil?
It's like,
Like,
we're almost there. We think we just need this one more piece. And they're like, ah, fine, whatever. It's not my money. So yeah, that's the interesting part of this. And let's get into, real quick before we talk about the rest of the current roster movement and everything, this interesting Ryan Odom, Pat Kelsey joint appearance on the field of 68, both very complimentary of each other. If you listened the whole time, they kind of went back and forth, and it was just interesting. Obviously Pat, I don't think McNeely is officially signed with Louisville yet, so he couldn't talk about McNeely.
Good point.
They kind of joked around that point, but with as far as Ryan Odom, what he said, and this kind of gets into the point of players that he's trying to keep at UVA. He says, their first priority was like keeping the coaching staff in place, and then from there, kind of like no judgment for players that want to go into the portal. And the interesting quote that I thought he said, he kind of said something like this similar at his press conference, but quote, be there for the guys with no judgment, but at the same time, we have to do what's right for Virginia basketball going forward. And he's kind of hit this point a couple times. And that to me tells me, again, he's not tied to this roster at all. And I'm not sure which players he really wants to keep. And that's, that's the reporting around that is kind of iffy. Like what there's players that, us as media say, they have a lot of potential and I think they'd be good fits in his offense, but we don't know what he's looking at on the other end of that.
No, it's a good point. And I mean, I think another component of this is if Odom wanted to keep Isaac McNeely, he would have announced Kyle Guy as a special assistant coach on very quickly. Or at least announce that internally. And Kyle Guy, Isaiah Wilkins, and Chase Coleman have not been brought in officially into new roles, and now they're at the Final Four looking around. Maybe, I mean, Kyle Guy said on the same podcast, the Field of 68, I think on Wednesday, that he's talked to Odom on the phone a couple times, met him once in person. Maybe he comes back. I think he actually technically is still, he's going to graduate probably like this summer or so, and then he could become a full-time assistant, or not full-time. He'd be a full-time, but like a legit assistant versus a special assistant. It's all semantics, but it does matter to some degree. And so it's interesting because Odom, like, I think he thinks he's enough institutional knowledge and memory for the program himself, which I can't necessarily blame him for because he's got a lot. And like, but it is this funny world where, like, all of a sudden, like the Bennett era, like there are no, currently there are like zero pieces attached to the program that are like Tony Bennett's. Like Ronnie Weidman is around, Mike Curtis is around, hopefully Ethan Saliba will be around, but like there's not a lot there. And I think that that kind of speaks to Odom and his staff wanting to forge a new path forward, and you see that with their roster as well. Like, maybe they bring a couple guys back. I would think that they will, one or two. But I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago thinking like four or five is the number. I think that's lower now. I think you're looking at two or three, not including like Carter Lang and Desmond Roberts. So
Who's in the
yeah,
transfer portal now
who's
himself?
also in the transfer portal? I just don't think that Odom is sentimental about the last 15 years of UVA basketball whatsoever, which is probably good news, frankly. You still want that program connection, and he mentioned that in his introductory press conference. I sort of thought that meant Guyon Wilkins would be sticking around. Odom brought more VCU people than I thought he would on his staff. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how that plays out over the next couple of weeks.
He still has one more assistant coach role, and I think that's going to be I still believe that's going to be pegged for a guy that has connections to the program. And
You would
you know,
think.
there's a lot of semantics behind the scene. Like, it took them so long just to announce, you know, Griff
Right.
Aldrich and Matt Henry and Bryce Crawford and Darius Theus, who have all been officially announced now. But like, those guys were at the press conference and they've been working for Virginia for the past couple of weeks. So like, you know, it's semantics of getting this stuff announced. And I thought for a while, I thought they were just going to wait until they had the whole thing finalized and they were going to announce the whole coaching staff as a whole. But it seems like, you know, maybe there's, you know, some delay in some of the other parts. They're still trying to get this general manager role finished. And so I know there's a lot of noise out there about that. So, you know, they still have some more pieces on this coaching staff to go. So it'll be interesting to see kind of, you know, when that all comes into place. I would still bet, I would bet the house that it's going to be a UVA alum or some kind of connection to the program in that last assistant coaching spot, whenever that gets done, whether that's Kyle Guy, Isaiah Wilkins, or Chase Coleman, you know, who knows? But I would still bet. Yeah, it seems like Kyle Guy from that appearance has a pretty solid relationship with Ryan Odom. He mentioned, you know, after the loss to UMBC that Ryan Odom wrote him like a handwritten letter. And then, you know, they caught up, you know, earlier this year when they had the scrimmage between VCU and UVA. So there's a good connection there. So we'll see. And, you know, Odom even mentioned that some of those guys were sticking around to help out with workouts and stuff like that with
Yeah,
their,
they've been around.
yeah, so they're around. So maybe it's just semantics of when this stuff kind of gets announced and everything. A couple other things that Ryan Odom was talking about, you know, they kind of made a joke about. He's not sure how many players he has on the roster right now. And it kind of reminded me of that John Calipari quote where he's like, I talked to the team, there is no team. And that's kind of what Virginia is right now when you only have one guy coming back and he didn't even play last year in Elijah Gertrude. But you know, he did make kind of a point. He picked up his phone, it was like, my phone is dinging constantly. So, I mean, they're working. And he even made a gesture to Pat Kelsey. He says, much like Louisville, we have a great cell here at UVA. Talked about, you know, in this climate, in order to win, resources are a big factor. And kind of, you know, throughout the year, you know, kids are always thinking about their next moves. So, like, this roster's been thinking about these moves as the year's gone by with Ron Sanchez. So, the roster construction is well underway. And, you know, even if you don't see the results so far, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, they got their feelers out there, and sometimes it just takes a little bit to get some of these commitments going.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're in an interesting point here where, you know, we're probably at the end of the transfer outs. Maybe Elijah Gertrude just decides to clean, like,
I
all
mean,
right, or Odom decides.
my interview with Elijah Gertrude is still stood up tall throughout this entire
Yeah,
transfer portal
yeah,
madness. He told me that he
yeah,
wanted to come back, and he's so far been the only guy that has kind of stuck through it.
yeah.
I'm not saying that intel from, you know, what has that been, like 2 months now ago?
Sure,
Like,
sure.
but it is wild that he's still the last guy standing.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's one piece of it. We're likely done with that. If not, it's one more. Unless all the walk-ons, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Now we're in this dead period where obviously like Odom and staff are in San Antonio. So there won't be visits for anybody, any school, any conference. No transfers will be visiting schools. They can still be talking to them. But that essentially means that the only people who would be committing in the next couple days or until I think until next week
It's the third through April 3rd through April 10th is the dead
Okay,
period.
that's what I thought it was. Yeah. So until the 11th, likely the only people committing to UVA would be those who visited. From what we know, that's VCU guys and maybe one other. But like, I think you're looking at maybe Brandon Jennings from VCU who visited a week ago, a little bit more than a week ago. Luke, I'm going to butcher his name, Luke Bamboye. Is that how you say it? Bamboye? Okay, you don't say the G. Okay.
I think it's a silent G. If he comes
We'll
to
find
UVA,
out.
then we'll
Or
figure
maybe it's a
it
Francisco Caffaro thing where we don't find out till his fifth year.
out.
But anyway, so those are two that could be coming. It's probably, who knows, maybe it's down to them or VCU or to UVA or VCU for those two. Maybe there's more there. So those would be the two most likely developments. You could also have an Ishan Sharma coming back, somebody else saying, okay, like, Anthony Robinson saying that he went on his visits. I'm just speculating here. This isn't intel. But there isn't going to be the big news over the next week, which I think is part of why that Nick Davidson commitment to Clemson and Virginia losing out on him, the senior center from Nevada, who was here on a visit, I think last weekend. That one hurt. Like, that would have been a big one for Odom and his staff to get as just like, all right, this is our 1A get in the portal this year, and we're already building, and that builds momentum, and momentum matters in transfer recruiting, especially. But I would just caution people to say, and I tweeted this out, but
I'm glad you
Virginia's,
did.
yeah, no, I actually did this a couple years ago, and I had to go back, find the old tweet, and then update it. And I had to update it with like nine new names. But the earliest Virginia has ever gotten a transfer recruitment, I believe under Tony Bennett, was April 8th. Obviously, it won't be April 8th this year. That was Armon Franklin. Jaden Gardner was April 12th. I won't run through all of these, but like just for like recent years, Jordan Miner, April 13th. Andrew Rohde, April 18th. Jacob Groves, April 25th. Jalen Worley, May 4th. Elijah Saunders, May 6th. TJ Power, May 6th. Day-Day Ames, May 16th. Now, what you're going to tell me is like, well, look how those teams performed. And I get you. Like, yes, you don't want to be building your roster in May, but it's early April. It's going to be okay. Next year, like, let's be real here. Next year might not be a tournament year for Virginia. They have no one on the roster, so it's really hard to say that. Like, I'm not going to get out ahead of any crazy takes. Maybe Ryan Odom just brings in a haul, and that's possible. But like, I do think that it's important to caution fans that like this is going to be a slower build than maybe what they want, at least in this portal in this next month. And the fact that Virginia doesn't have seven guys on its roster right now is okay.
And going off that point, and I've seen the comments because I've made similar comments on the message boards and stuff, and people have said, oh, well, obviously that doesn't work because like they haven't been good recently. And
Sure.
like I don't think it's a strategy. I think this
No,
is
no,
college
no.
basketball as a whole. No rosters are done right now. Like there's not a single roster in the country that is fully complete right now.
And it's
Like
a coaching change. Of course, it's going to take some time.
And like it's so funny. Like you caution for months that, all right, there's gonna be a lot of guys that hit the portal, so just be ready for that. And then once guys start going in the portal, then everyone starts freaking out. Like, what's happening? Why is everyone jumping in the portal? It's like we've been saying this for a month, guys. Like
Yeah.
coaching changes happen now, and when coaching changes happen, a lot of the roster is gone, if not the entire roster. Like we saw that with Louisville last year. If we want to keep making that comparison, we've seen it with other rosters around the country. There's a lot of turnover with coaching changes right now, and that's not all necessarily an indictment on the new coaches coming in. That's more just like the reality of the situation that some
Sure.
guys are like, "Well, that's not the coach I came to play for. Maybe I want to go look at a different opportunity." And the coach being like, "Well, maybe this isn't the roster that I want. Maybe these aren't the players that I want to fit my style." And that, like, look, there's all these other guys out there. What, like, the portal's over thousands of guys right now.
Yeah.
So like there's options out there. One real quick thing I want to hit on, with what else Ryan Odom talked about in that appearance. It's kind of like picking little scraps here and there based off what he says. Terrence Oglesby asked him about his play style, and this is something that we've kind of talked about in the past, but I thought it was interesting. He said, "In my heart of hearts, I'd like to play faster than they did at VCU, but at the same time, they don't want to sacrifice defense." And he said, kind of what they're hoping to find is a middle ground between Utah State and VCU styles, and kind of incorporate both, which is what I thought. would kind of be the case because, those teams played pretty differently just based on the kind of talent available to them, but he kind of fits the play style to the talent that they have.
Yeah, no, and I think that that matters. And that was what he said at his introductory press conference. Like, he's going to be flexible to his roster, and he's going to mold a scheme and a philosophy around what his players are going to be able to do best. Obviously, like, he's going to have his staples embedded in that. But yeah, I mean, his in terms of, I'm just looking at KenPom right here, like, in terms of adjusted, like, tempo, it does go kind of up and down. Like, first year at UMBC, they were 52nd fastest in the country. Last year at VCU, or at, well, 2024, they were 292nd in tempo. Last year, 246th. So things can fluctuate there. I do think that, like, Virginia basketball is gonna look different next year. So, like, they're gonna be picking up a little bit more after makes. They're gonna be looking for transition threes on the wings. They're gonna be running a little bit more. Frankly, I think it will be fun. I am looking forward to talking about, like, or at least tweeting about, like, a different scheme than we've seen. The last scheme worked. They won a national championship. I'm not saying anything, but yeah, no, I think Odom. I think Odom will, he's a coach that's made to have a roster that changes year to year, because you can't, like, it was one of those Tony Bennett components. What you love about Tony is that he wants to build a roster that lasts. You want to build a roster that gets old always and can, like, master a scheme across 4 or 5 years. That's just not the reality right now, unfortunately, unless you just are hitting bangers out of high school recruiting year after year after year, and you're always good. But no one's really doing it. It's like Houston, like, that's it. Like, it's Houston, basically. And so, yeah, that's a tough place to live. And I think that Odom and his scheme and his coaching approach are a little bit more suited to this era.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between being flexible and then kind of having no system.
Sure,
Like we've
sure.
seen in the past, some coaches are like, we're flexible. And it's like, all right, but what are you actually doing when you're out there
Yeah,
on the court?
right. What's going to help you? What are you going to win games doing?
I
Yeah.
think you could see even year by year with Ryan Odom and his rosters at UVA, the play style could change. And I will say in the pace of play, like even seeing the 252nd fastest team in the country is going to look markedly
Oh,
different than what we've seen at Virginia. Like I watched those VCU teams this year and I was like, yeah, sure, they're not like Kentucky or, Florida or some of these other SEC teams that just run and gun the whole game, but like they're pushing transition. Like I think I counted more fast breaks in 1 minute than I did all UVA for like the majority of the season. So like they'll push the tempo and I think he wants to, but at the same time, like he's got that solid like bedrock of wants to be a solid defensive team. And we saw that at VCU this year. They were what the fifth ranked fifth in defensive efficiency in the country this season. So they're a solid defensive team. All right. I know we got some other guys to talk about that have found new homes in the transfer portal, but we're going to take a quick break on the Who's On podcast and we'll come back and talk about those guys.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
All right, welcome back. We're going to hit on a couple other of the guys on the current roster finding new homes. There have been four now UVA players that have officially transferred out. The latest, obviously, Isaac McNealy, but then also Andrew Rohde going to Wisconsin kind of the same day as McNealy. So, kind of interesting timing there with both those guys who were obviously very close friends, and that was always very clear. Blake Buchanan earlier in the week went to Iowa State and Danae Ames. Also going within the ACC, but obviously on the opposite coast at Cal. Of those four guys, just any thoughts on their transfer exits?
Yeah, not really. I think Wisconsin makes sense for Rohde. He's going home. It's cool to see that he's still at a major conference team. He's a guy that I think Virginia fans grew to really appreciate this year. Hopefully some people change their opinions and apologize for some things said last year. But like that was a pretty cool story. Like he's one that like I will keep an eye on, similar to McNeely. Buchanan to Iowa State was interesting to me. I thought maybe he would jump down a level.
Yeah, same.
Maybe somebody at Iowa State thinks they can use him in a different way. Dede Haymes to Cal is a funny one. That will be interesting playing Cal next year and him coming back to JPJ most likely. Not really strong opinions. I am sort of surprised that they went 4 for 4 on like going to Power Four schools. I would have bet that one of Ames or Buchanan would have dropped down to a mid-major. But maybe people just really loved this UVA basketball roster and they were like, I want those guys.
We don't like them together, but I like
Yeah,
this guy
right.
and this guy
Yeah.
and this guy
Which
and
is
kind of
that's what it is. It's like shopping for bananas, you
yeah.
just kind of,
The Data Ames one is interesting, kind of being at Cal, and we don't because the ACC back before they added Cal, SMU, and Stanford had released like the kind of scheduling matrix for the next couple of years. But then when they added those teams, they only did it for the next season, so we still don't really know what the future schedules are going to look like, and who's going where and stuff. So you would assume if UVA went out to Cal last year that maybe Cal would come to UVA next year. And I guess UVA is still playing Louisville twice a year. I don't really know what this new conference schedule looks like. So we'll see what that looks like as far as the big returns. And that's what you get in for years in the NBA, like they would always like play up these big homecomings, like LeBron going back to Cleveland or Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City. Now you get Isaac McNeely coming back to JPJ, or I guess Data Ames coming back to JPJ to a
Get
lesser extent.
the video ready. Get the tribute ready.
That's right.
Day-day, that pit game.
I don't see college teams making tribute videos
Do
for
you think
these guys.
McNeely will get one? See, because the other thing is that, like, I think that it's still, and I tweeted this, like, not just always reference my tweets. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, should we just
But
pull up your Twitter for this
yeah, should we just read through that? No,
podcast?
but like, I think fans can be salty at IMAC. Like, I do think that you're allowed to feel that.
Yeah.
I think that you can't be like, F you, man, because like you got to understand it. But
There's
like,
a lot of that right now.
I also understand fans being like, well, this sucks. Like, I wanted him to be our guy and he didn't want to be our guy. And like, you can understand his decision and also be a little cranky about it. So like, I don't know if we're going to reach that point in college sports because like, it would be a weird situation where like, I don't know. Maybe this is the situation because it is a coaching change and everybody understands it, but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, I don't know what kind of reception he's going to get when he does come back or when Virginia does play Louisville next year, and that's kind of up to the fan base to decide. And I don't think anyone's forcing you to you have to feel happy for him. Like, you could feel however you want. I think
Yeah,
there's
sure.
you, there's just nuance to it, and you have to understand all the different sides of this, and maybe even understand like maybe like Virginia wanted him back to a certain extent.
Sure.
Here we are talking about Isaac McNeely again in the second half of this, but yeah, as far as those players, I was surprised too that they all kind of transferred to, I don't know about equal footing
Yeah.
programs, but maybe I think Louisville's probably like a notch up from UVA just as things stand right now.
Sure.
Wisconsin's been playing better. Iowa State's been playing better. Cal's probably, I would say, below, even though maybe Cal beat UVA last year, I think I would still put Cal below as a program. We talked about it before. There's only one player left, scholarship player from last season. It's Elijah Gertrude, with Elijah Saunders entering the transfer portal. And this is an interesting one because all the intel had been that Elijah Saunders wanted to stay at UVA, and then maybe at the end, like, you have these meetings with the new coaching staff, you kind of go through some workouts and maybe get a feel for, all right, maybe this isn't the place for me for next year.
Yeah, the Saunders one is interesting. I think the fact that he entered so late speaks to that. I had a little bit of, I don't know if you call it reporting, but a little bit of, it's a little sort, everybody has a source, but
Sources tell me.
yeah, I don't know like in-depth details. That's why I didn't like say per sources or put out a real report. I think that what happened with Saunders, and this is a guess mixed with like a little bit of little bit of
Intel,
intel,
yeah.
which is like not a lot, but my best guess is that Saunders wanted to stay. I think that Saunders had relationships with VCU, recruited him at one point. Matt Henry had known Saunders since high school. And so I think he wanted to stay in Charlottesville. I think he didn't hate the new coaching staff. He liked what they had to say. I think they sat down at the table to bang out the details, and Saunders probably asked for more than Virginia was willing to offer. Now, I don't think that that's Odom showing Saunders the door. Like, a lot of people were upset when they saw basically what I said, and that like this is a move from Odom and staff to, prioritize assembling their roster. I think it's just more that like this comes down to resource allocation. And Odom, I'm just going to make up a number. This is not a number I've heard by any means. Let's say Saunders went in and said, I want 800K next year. And Odom and staff said, we think you are worth 650K. We're not paying you 800.
Yeah.
If that was me, and I think that my market is $150,000 higher than what someone is offering me, I'm hitting the portal.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to find my bag.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a situation where Saunders tests his market. Maybe he already knows, like that's also a reality. But maybe he goes out, tests the market. Maybe Virginia bumps that up. Again, this isn't for sure what happened, but just given the timing of it and the fact that I do think Saunders was interested in staying, it's an interesting world. Like I think this is a chance that cooler heads sort of prevail, but maybe not. And I think that this, like, I do think that fans need to, embrace a new headspace around sort of this world of college athletics, where like if it's free agency for players, it has to be free agency for programs too.
Yeah.
Now, if Elijah Saunders wanted to come back, I'm pretty sure there's a contract he could sign tomorrow or today. I'm fairly, it's not like they were like, you're not getting a spot. We're not, this isn't scholarships anymore. Like the
Yeah.
70K to come to UVA out of state is minuscule compared to what these guys are making on in NIL and revenue sharing. So like it's not that Saunders got booted, and I think that that's like an important thing. It's not like he can't graduate from UVA if he wanted to. I think he could come back, but it's a matter of respecting his market and him wanting to get what he thinks he's worth. And I don't think you can really blame either side for that. I think it's probably a sign of Odom being like, we're not going to just pay 7 mil to guys that are like, okay, that we think could maybe fit our system. Like if we're going to go out and pay guys, we want it to be because we want that guy. Not necessarily because our hand is being forced to keep a guy. So it gives you a little insight into like Odom's perspective on it, and probably Saunders and just players in general, their perspective on it. Today. So it's a weird situation that everyone is still adapting to. Frankly, we probably need better reporting around this. I think that's also just the reality that like this is all like NDAs are getting signed, like people don't want to talk about it, programs don't want to talk about it. NIL, what are they called? Whatever, the funds don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like no one's talking. The collectives, thank you. Yeah.
Collectives, yeah.
The collectives don't
No.
want to talk. So it's just a weird situation all around.
No one will ever give you an accurate NIL figure.
Sure.
Even when you get well-sourced reporting, it is a range. They will never give you the exact amount because, like we said earlier, it can change. I
Sure.
think what we were talking about earlier, and I keep going back to this kind of data analytics because, this is playing heavily into this, and this is something you've seen from other rosters. I know Duke had been using it. I know, some other good programs, Texas Tech, Michigan, schools like that have been using analytics to kind of build out their rosters. And so you're seeing like, certain players, they have a value to an extent. You don't want to use all the money that you can use on players that you like,
Yeah.
all right, well, maybe this guy could be in the starting lineup, but maybe he files back to the bench. And I was questioning, well, where does Elijah Saunders kind of fit in this roster? Obviously last year he kind of showed us that he's kind of has to be a four man because he doesn't have, the ball handling and stuff to play out in the wing as much. And so maybe, with the you look at a lot of the guys that they're targeting, a lot of them are fours. So
Yep.
maybe you don't have room for Elijah Saunders to take up this much of your money or, air quotes salary cap
Sure.
if he's not going to be starting over some of these guys that you want to bring in. And not to say that he wouldn't be, but it's just kind of you got to take value into this now. And it's not just like, all right, let's get as many guys onto this roster as we can. You want
Right.
to get the best value, your best bang for your buck at the end of the day, with how you kind of build this roster together.
Definitely. And there's also a component of like the 200 grand they spend this year is 200 grand they can't spend next year. Like, that's, like there is a component of that now. Like, we don't know exactly how this is going to work. We don't know exactly what legislation is coming down from the hill. But like, for now, if there's money that you can save this year, not saying that like Odom is like, we need to save this year because next year is when I want to build my roster. No, but like, you're not going to overpay because you can use that money later on. Maybe they have a good year this year. Maybe they make the NCAA tournament. They bring enough guys back. They're like, we want to go get three like studs in the portal. We want to pay them 1.5 each and we want to build a contender in year two. I'm not, this is like, a dream scenario.
That's like what Louisville did this year.
Right, exactly. Like, you want to be that Louisville? Well, like, you can't spend everything now. And granted, I think more money will come in and it will be an annual thing, but like, you're not just going to spend money because you have it, because it could be beneficial later on.
And this is another thing, is like building from year one to year two. I know we keep talking about year two just because that's when you look at Ryan Odom's track record, that's when he has had the successes in year two at each of
Sure.
his stops. Not saying it can't happen in year one. It's kind of different even from a couple of years ago when, he was at UMBC and at Utah State. Like, it could happen year one. We have one player on the roster currently, so let's hold the brakes. Let's see kind of how this plays out and how this develops. But it could be year one and it could be year two. Looking at how you build out the roster, like, yeah, you could look at, kind of down the line and spend your money, different ways. And like, it's not like a salary cap in the NBA where like you have the money each year. Some years you
Sure.
may not have the money. Some years you may have more money. So it's not as done and dusted. And, the other big point that we should make here, and we talked about this on my earlier pod this week with Greg Medea, is the house settlement is playing a huge factor in this with how many guys are trying to jump in the portal right now, because you have this looming thing where NIL deals are going to be vetted going forward. So like, you can't just toss out the proverbial NIL deal and say this is what you're getting. And UVA has done a pretty good job of like actually having stuff tied to these NIL deals. So I'm not saying that they're just throwing around money and not giving you true NIL deals,
No,
but
there's stuff attached to these contracts that they have to achieve.
the media appearances or different stuff they have to do with CAF futures and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, this stuff's going to be kind of more vetted going forward. There's going to be limits to it and stuff like that. So a lot of guys are in the portal right now trying to get as much as they can, and that's what their agents are telling them to do. So it's going to be kind of interesting what we see going forward with how Ryan Odom chooses to build out this roster. And we did get a little bit of roster news this week. How about the double bang? Were you ready for that announcement?
With UVA's teasing.
Yeah, I just tweeted out, or I just texted a friend about the Pat Kelsey one that they had, where he kind
Sure.
of walks into the gym with the flashing lights and everything. And I was like, I mean, it's corny, but it's cool. Like, I think people, they got on board with the bat signal that, UVA football had a while
Bronco,
back with
yeah.
Bronco. And so I was like, man, I wonder if, Ryan Odom kind of like lets this happen. And then all of a sudden you get this double bang, Mike Breen. Like, I love the NBA and I love Mike Breen. So like, that hit home for me right there. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I think you've seen some sort of direction from Odom of kind of like, let's embrace, I don't want to say 21st century, but like, let's embrace the 2020s world of college sports and the social media space. I mean, it, with Silas Barksdale, his commitment. His edit, that's a new jersey. That's not a jersey that Virginia has worn before. I'm not saying those are their jerseys now, but that's not a jersey that they've worn before that he was wearing in his commitment edit. So yeah, I think that there have been some signs that Odom's like, all right, let's sort of, and nothing, again, I love Tony Bennett, but like, Bennett was like, I don't need social media. I'm not on social media. I
No
don't need new
flash,
jerseys. I don't give a crap about what they're saying on the message boards. I just want to win games. And that was great. And they won a lot of games. And Odom still wants to win games. But he also, I think, wants to have little bit of fun. And so I think that he's embracing that. And I do think, like, I don't know how much it matters, but it does matter to some extent to these kids. Like, you do still want to be able to be like, yeah, we can highlight you. We're going to get people fired up about your commitment because, yeah, teasing it beforehand does get people excited and it's not ruining a commitment because most people don't know exactly what's coming. We might, but yeah, no, I think it's fun. I think it's good. I think it's a sign an adjustment with Odom coming in.
Yeah, and I don't even know how much the players kind of get into it, but
Yeah, maybe
it
not.
creates a good connection with the fan base because I think the fan base likes seeing stuff like that. They like being engaged with on social media. They like,
Right.
kind of seeing a fun side to the program that we didn't get to really see before. But let's get into the actual news of that, the double bang. Silas Barksdale commitment. He was a four-star recruit out of the state of Virginia that was previously committed to VCU, flipped over to follow Ryan Odom and his coaching staff to Charlottesville now. The big thing that I pointed out about this is, the recruiting locally. It's the first time since 2009 UVA signed two players from the state of Virginia in the same class, now with Chance Mallory and Silas Barksdale. I think Barksdale's a really good fit for Odom's system. He might be kind of more of a developmental guy long term, but at the same time, like, and I've always said, recruiting is kind of a national thing in college basketball, especially when you have, all these AAU tournaments. So like, you're
Yeah.
not going like high school football. You got to like travel all over the country to like these kids' hometowns to be able to see them. But basketball, like, you're going down to Peach Jam in the summer
Right.
and seeing all these guys in one spot, or whatever tournament it may be. So it kind of is more of a national landscape for basketball. But it is nice to kind of see kind of a connection to the state. And Ryan Odom, going back to his time when he just got to VCU, recruited a ton of in-state, in-town Richmond guys to come back to VCU, and start of kind of playing the same, notes here as you get started at UVA.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. He's more of a Virginia guy than Tony Bennett. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he freaking grew up here, coached in the DMV at UMBC, obviously at VCU, not too far away. His dad is, assistant at UVA. Yeah, he's also, North Carolina, Wake Forest connections, of course. But yeah, like, I think Odom, he, I don't know, like, there's a, you don't want to go crazy with like recruiting the state. And I think it's
No.
sometimes funny to like tweet about it. No, I liked, I not, I liked your tweet. And I think sometimes people get like really excited about it
Yeah.
and it kind of cracks me up. But I get it. Like you want your hometown kids, you want Chance Mallory, you want Silas Barksdale, you want people who are from the state and want to stay home. And Chance Mallory said that after he committed. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting in comparison to football, like you brought up, like football, you just got to fill out a freaking roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you got to fill out 100 guys. And so you probably do have to get some people close to home. I think in basketball, you can be more selective with it. But I do think that it does matter to try to get some of the best guys. Like, if you could just get the best guys from Virginia, then you'd get Nate Amant or Nate Amant, however you
Yeah.
pronounce his last name. Obviously that's probably not going to happen, but yeah, no, it's a cool development. Probably fewer guys from Wisconsin, more guys from Virginia moving forwards, which I think Virginia fans will welcome and they have a reason to.
It creates a nice little connection because people, relate to
Sure.
people from their areas. And
Right.
yeah, just on the recruiting front, like, it's not an indictment on how Tony Bennett recruited. I know a lot of people have been critical of that over the years, especially with some of the lower tier targets that they got and, missing out on the big fish out there. But I think still, like, you gotta have a kind of a national approach to it. So I think Ryan Odom will still, reach out of the
Sure.
state too. I think just to start with, it's nice to get these two guys that were kind of right there for the taking, and Chance Mallory and Silas Barksdale. I also think, there's a lot of guys from the state of Virginia that, Tony Bennett's staff, may have tried to get, but didn't really make a strong effort to get, or you're kind of lost out on. You go back and look, there have been a ton of guys over the year: Caleb Foster, Mark Williams, Trevor Keels, Nate Amant this year. I'm trying to think back, Malik Brown's a guy that played just down the road in Blue Ridge. There's a ton of guys from the state of Virginia that have kind of gone elsewhere over the years, and maybe they weren't good fits for Tony Bennett, or maybe they didn't make as strong as recruiting pitch as they could have. But there's a ton of talent that comes out of Virginia, especially that Nova, DC, Maryland area. Like, there's a ton
Sure.
of kids in that DMV area. But yeah, what do you think about Barksdale just as a player?
Yeah, I think the key words are like high motor, good rebounder. I think that's true. I also think like there's a reason that that's what's said first. And so like he's a 6'8" center. Is he going to be able to survive as a 6'8" center in the ACC? I'm not sure. He's mobile enough that he could like play the four and guard against fours. I think like, and this is probably like his ceiling is probably like a Wilkins type, an Isaiah Wilkins. Like you're going to just like be a defensive four that is all over the court. It's a great rebounder, is blocking shots, is just like hustling and making plays. He might have a little bit more of some touch than Wilkins, but I will say, Zay could hit a jumper. He could hit a 12-foot jumper. He had a couple three attempts in his last year. And so I think that's kind of the mold that you're looking at, and you're looking at it in sort of a developmental role. I don't think that he's like going to come in next year and it's like, man, this guy is like holding down the fort for them in the front court. They still need like three or four more pieces in the front court, especially post Saunders news. And so he's a good piece to have. You want players, you don't want to not have players. But I also don't think he's a like, I don't know, back up the Brinks truck necessarily kind of guy.
No, he's and like you said, the key words are high motor, good rebounder, active, athletic. The scouting report, at least from 247, said he has some nice touch on some floaters and
Yeah, he
stuff in
does.
the inside. So that'll be good too.
He's a bit of a jump shot too. Like
Maybe he
you
can
watch his
expand out.
highlights. He actually does take some threes. It's kind of a question of like, I mean, Blake Buchanan would take threes in warmups. And so like it's kind of like, okay, how does that apply to ACC ball? But yeah, no, I think it's possible that he could hit some jumpers. And
Man,
Odom's gonna want him to.
I've been burned so many times by
I know.
the bigs that can shoot threes in high school. Caden
Right.
Shedrick was shooting threes and
Yeah.
Blake Buchanan. I'm just like, I'm not buying it anymore. Like
Yeah,
these
it's
things
one of
never
those.
happen.
Well, and also, I think one thing that I've adapted to is like guys very rarely become better shooters in college. Typically, they are what they are. Like, okay, Ishan Sharma is one. Like, he shot like 34, 35% from three. That's not probably what he is in reality.
On
But
high
like,
volume,
yeah, right, exactly. And so, like, yeah, right. Typically, a shooter is like they show you what they are, at least in their first 2 years. It's rare that you get that Justin Anderson type improvement. And so like that's one thing I've always tried to be like careful, at least recently, in projecting guys. Like typically guys are as good as shooters as they are when they come in.
It is rare to see. Everyone thought maybe Leon Bond could develop the jump shot like
Ryan Dunn was
just
another one.
Ryan
Yeah.
Dunn.
I mean, now he has.
Just came a year too late, Ryan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess just as we look at what's next for this UVA roster, we talked about earlier, the kind of the calendar for this is they have a dead period right now. So you would think guys that they've already taken visit these VCU guys, and we're kind of still waiting to see what happens with these guys. Maybe they're just still evaluating their options. Could commit. There's also one guy I forgot to mention earlier is they did, well reported that they did take a visit down to Charlotte to talk to Reed Bailey, who's a forward at Davidson, who and take it
That
for
would
what
be
you
a
will.
nice piece.
You look at all the different recruiting rankings, and some are higher on some players, some are higher on other players. I look at the athletic because I like theirs, kind of how they put together, and like they have a good like it's interactive and easy to read. Reed Bailey is 22nd on there. Nick Davidson's in the 40s on there. So
Interesting.
take that for what you will. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I think Reed Bailey, in my view, just from watching his tape, might fit better what VC or what Ryan Odom wants to do at UVA. I don't know. He seems a little bit more athletic,
Yeah.
but it'll be interesting to see kind of what picks up this week during the dead period, and then after that, it's kind of like all hands on deck, full force, like get this
Yep.
roster put together after the starting on the 11th.
Yeah, I think Odom will be hoping for like maybe one or two commitments in the next week. You're hoping to get Jennings and Bamboye, or if you don't get both, you get another a UVA a young UVA guy back. So you're hoping that there is news in the next week. I would think there would be. And then yeah, then it is like it you know, you kind of wish that Bailey they'd gotten him on a visit before the dead period. Just because, like, as you said, like everyone will then be going full throttle after the dead period is over. But yeah, I mean, maybe there's like a surprise commitment. Maybe Bailey is like, I don't even need to see Charlottesville. Let's do this. I kind of doubt that. But yeah, I think like a productive or like, you know, B plus sort of dead period is like you pick up two guys of some combination of VCU and UVA players. And, you know, maybe Odom closes out the staff and then they hit the ground running. It would be crazy if they got anybody outside of that, I think, or at least unexpected. And then yeah, then you're hoping to start bringing in your big pieces in the portal after the 10th.
I would kind of just my read on the situation would expect the UVA guys to kind of make quicker decisions than maybe some other schools because they've been, and Ryan Odom made mention of this, like these guys have been kind of thinking about it, whether they wanted to or not, since, Tony Bennett retired in October. So, like, maybe not necessarily schools reaching out to them, but they kind of have an idea what they want in their next location, their next target. They've hired agents and stuff like that. So maybe they find answers quicker, and that would be great for Ryan Odom if he had the answers from all these current roster guys and he could kind of go forward. I know Anthony Robbins taking a visit at least to Stanford. I don't know if he's gone anywhere else. And maybe some other guys have taken visits and stuff like that. So we'll see how quickly that plays out. Yeah, like you'd say, two or three guys in the next week, that would be great. And kind of go from there after the transfer portal kind of reopens in full force, and kind of not reopens, but recruiting kind of goes back open in full force. But anything else you wanted to get off your chest before we close up here?
Oh gosh, it's a good question. I don't think so. I mean, I think patience is a key word right now. I get being antsy. I get wanting names and big recruitments and big portal guys coming in. I think Chance Mallory is like that's one that people shouldn't forget. Like that's a really good building piece for all of this that we're not really talking about because we're thinking it like guys returning and guys coming in, but alongside Barksdale, that's a nice high school class to have coming in for a new coach. Like it is kind of rare to like have high school guys coming in immediately for a high school coach. And obviously Mallory was a Bennett commitment or originally, but that's changed. So yeah, I think those are two good guys to have in the pipeline that matter. So that's like a check on that end. And then yeah, I would say have patience. They'll build a roster. There will be a team. Virginia will have a team next year. Promise. Might not be very good, but they will have one. Maybe it will be good. So yeah, those are the in-depth thoughts I will leave you with.
Yeah, I hate to leave it on a fence, but yeah, it could be good, could be not great, but we're gonna have to see. I get the sense from Ryan Odom that he's a very confident in kind of their approach to this right now. Every interview that I've heard him talk, and I think he's been on the field of 68 twice since, and so that's something we're gonna have to get used to because Tony Bennett never made any media appearances whatsoever. So now, like, we're gonna look out for what Ryan Odom's talking about and stuff in the out in the public. But so yeah, I get the sense that he's very confident in how they're approaching this. But Zach, thanks for getting up early on a Friday morning with me. Just wanted to get this out into the feeds before we go into the weekend, just to give some people like an idea of what we're dealing with this transfer portal class. Again, I wasn't going to do another podcast this week, but the news forced our hands. But Zach, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for the Who's On podcast. We will see you next week. We got a little bit of spring football game preview coming up because football is getting closer to the end of the spring practice sessions, and we got a lot to talk about. We'll have Joe Reed, the sponsor of this podcast, coming up on Monday. We will see you then.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.